very refreshed in hearing the psalms sung and the prayer that was prayed and the needs. I love to hear the needs of the Lord's people. You know, we come to the Lord's service not in the spirit of strength and power, but in weakness. Because in weakness, we're enabled by God's strength. And so, it's much different than the world perceives Christianity. Much different. We don't approach God from a position of power and of might. If we do, we're going to be off course and unable to perceive the love of God shed abroad in the hearts of His people. I was coming off the road this morning and I saw that big sign, strength. Brother, they're starting out on the wrong foot already. We approach God not in a self-inflicted voluntary humility, like we're putting on something, but with our hearts broken, recognizing the need of the hour, that we're poor and afflicted, that we have nothing to offer God, that in our flesh which stinks in the nostrils of God, that we come as beggars pounding on our chest, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you've never felt that in your heart, I pray for you. I pray that the scales of human merit and human wisdom, pride, and arrogance will be removed. And that your heart will be leveled. That's when you know the love of God. The peace that passes all understanding. The hope of everlasting life. And, I might add, the joy of victory over defeating sin now. I'm sorry to say that I'll never see Sister Laura on the side of heaven again. I can't remember the first time I ever met her, but probably here at Mount Carmel. And there was never a time that she didn't have a smile on her face. Does anybody here recognize a time with Sister Laura where she was lower than you were? She was always upbeat about the kingdom and God's service. Always had a good word to say, and from what I understand, it was always helpful. You know, within her circumstances. And that's a tribute to the wonderful mercy of God reaching into the hearts of a depraved creature that outside of His love and grace is worthless. But God brings us to His table where we are made partakers in God's marvelous kingdom. Is that where you want to be today? I invite your attention. Also, pray for Brother Steve Lloyd. Certainly, pray for Brother Steve as he ministers the Word of God. I invite your attention to Mark chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. I hope you do. This is God's schoolhouse of faith, and we bring our textbooks. If you don't have one, I encourage you to bring one. There's always a good time to start in studying God's Word. There's never a point in your life where you can say, well, it's too late. As long as God has given you breath and knowledge, you bring that textbook to church. You show your support for the Word of God, which is rich and abundantly able to give you an inheritance amongst all them that are sanctified. In other words, the Word of God is rich enough to bless you with a portion of what's to come. And when that young lady received the ring, she was mightily happy, wasn't she? But that engagement ring was just a foretaste of what was to come. The Bible is our richest blessings here on earth, and God has given you the wisdom to understand it. You relish in that fact. And read with me now, as we approach a man in the Bible whose name I do not know, but who I identify with. And he's found in chapter 1 of Mark, verse 40. Let's begin reading. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him. Jesus charges this new found cleansed person from leprosy. He charged him. I heard someone say that the Greek word behind straightway charge is the same word as snort, as like a horse snorting. And you can see the Lord Jesus Christ charging him as he sent him away. And he said unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So what we have, interesting enough, is a man who's an outcast enters the city and is received through the meritorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the city, becomes an outcast for him. I want to talk to you this morning about a leper who was cleansed. Now, leprosy in the New Testament is it's minuscule at best. There's only two references that I know, possibly a third. We think about Simon the leper. You remember the Lord who went to Simon the leper's house to have a supper in Bethany. And that tells us that Simon was no longer a leper, but probably, most likely, was a leper in the past, but cleansed. But of the two major portions of Scripture that speak about a leper, we remember Luke chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. Remember the 10? What happened? God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed the 10, but only one turned back to thank him. And then, of course, this case here we have in Mark chapter 1. We have a leper here who had come to the Lord Jesus Christ beseeching him. When John the Baptist was in prison and questioning whether or not who he thought Jesus was in fact the Messiah, he wanted to know, is it you or should we look for another? Jesus sent word to him while he was in prison and told him that lepers were cleansed. Proof that he was the Messiah who came to seek a people who sat in darkness, and who those same people would see a great light. He spoke about the provisions of the blessings under the ministry of the Messiah, that the lame would walk, that the broken hearts would be healed, that those that were in prison would be set free, and that the lepers were cleansed. But by and large, we don't have any other accounts in the New Testament about lepers being cleansed, although I believe there were many of them. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ practically eradicated Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Galilee of lepers. I believe many of the lame were healed of their sickness. So much so that John, at the end of his gospel, said the books could not contain, in this world, the books could not contain all the work that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have in the Gospels when it comes to miracles is a sample of what took place. A sample. Sufficient enough, as recorded by us. By the way, Matthew records the same miracle. Luke records this leper being cleansed. And so does Mark, we have before us. But so much so that it was sufficient enough to demonstrate and to prove the validity of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, through miracles, proved that he was who in fact he said he was. The Son of God, the Creator, that one by whom all things consist. That is an amazing thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ proves it so. But I want to look at a little bit first at the background of our account where this leper was cleansed. And I think it's very important to note. Notice with me in verse 35, Mark chapter 1. He said, and healed many. Excuse me. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So here's Jesus leaving us an example, and I think it was more than just a show. I think it demonstrated his absolute need and dependence upon the Father. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was dependent upon the Father, how much more are we? And so here he retreats to a solitary place that allows us the thought that you and I both need separation from the culture, from society at large, from sometimes even family, and separate ourselves to the quietness where we can commune with our Heavenly Father. If Jesus needed this type of fellowship, then we also need it ourselves. We need to recognize that sometimes we need to get away and be strengthened. The Lord Jesus Christ here shows his spiritual need in fellowship with his Father through prayer. He prayed. The Lord Jesus Christ went in an intercessory prayer. And the reason I raise this as a very important background point is because what he is about to do takes an enormous amount of unity and will and power from God the Father. Remember, the Lord came to the sin-cursed earth not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. He didn't come isolated from that, so he shows again his unity with the Father. Prayer is a great forerunner to great blessings. Spiritual prayer, pouring out your soul unto the Lord, laying it bare before him, being honest with God about yourself, leaves the windows of open, the windows of heaven open for spiritual blessings to follow. And so we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch what happens in addition to this prayer, when he leaves off with prayer, verse 38, let us go unto the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And so this prayer has given the Lord Jesus Christ this spiritual passion to preach the gospel for which he came. That's the reason I came. I came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know what I like about Mount Carmel? They're supportive of the preaching of the gospel. They're here when church starts. They support Brother Lloyd, who himself is a great spiritual leader when it comes to the passion for preaching. He'll go anywhere to preach the gospel. He'll leave his busy life aside and pursue the ministry of the preaching of the gospel. You know what a deacon is? A deacon is a servant. He doesn't just turn lights on, lock doors, and open doors. He doesn't just collect money. His purpose is the support of the ministry. That's the key ingredient for the qualification of a deacon, that he supports the preaching of the gospel. Of course, you can unravel that and determine what that all means. But if you don't have a deacon that supports, then you don't have deacons. Same way with the members. You're here, much like Cornelius was when he sat in his family all together prior to Peter's arrival, to hear Peter preach the gospel. They were in support of the ministry of the word. That's why Jesus came forth to preach the gospel. That's why I hope you're here today, and that's why I hope I'm here today, to pitch hit for Brother Lloyd in his need, to preach the gospel. I want to, and I hope that that's a true calling and commitment, to preach, to support. This is a passion, but this passion is followed by spiritual power. Notice with me in verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is full of passion and full of power. He's perfectly ready and able to meet this man's needs. I want to show in the first place that Christ is full of compassion. He's fulfilling something that is very critical as the Messiah. Somebody might say, yeah, but how can he be full of compassion when he's so weary and worn out? I mean, it won't be long before he's sitting at the well looking for water. He was thirsty and in great need. I mean, how can Jesus, who divested himself of such great glory, stoop to this sin-cursed earth, be able and capable of doing what he did? Well, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, though he divested himself of glory, we got a glimpse of it, at the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't we, when he unveiled himself? And Peter, James, and John stood back and saw a little bit about that glory. But listen, while he divested himself of glory, he did not divest himself of the essence of who he was and who he is. That he is God, fully God, manifest in the flesh, fully man. Amazing, isn't it? Somebody might say, well, didn't they know that would be the case? Didn't the Old Testament saints know that, perceive it? Well, sure, there's a lot of portrayal of this in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah. And there was enough said back there in the Old Testament to set forth the fact that the Messiah would be humiliated. He would come to the point of stooping down in such obedience. But one particular scripture that I do want to read for you, I like, is found in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 113, notice what it says. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. There He is, sitting, basking in His glory. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Well, the answer is no one. No one else. Who, now notice verse 6, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor and the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. And this is a scripture in the Old Testament that reflects the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How humble is it for the God of all the universe to approach a leper? That's what I'm saying. How humble is it for the God of all glory, who is holy, even the angels had to hide themselves from the glory of that one who sat on the throne. And yet that same one, veiled in human flesh, approaches a leper. Paul said something like this. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And in the same breath, he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." You know, we serve through the mind the law of God. But we're all lepers here this morning because by the law of sin, we serve the flesh. And we know that depravity, oh, you can't dress us up. These hearts are ugly by nature, you see. We identify with this man here. We identify with this leper. We recognize something, though, like he did, that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of compassion. I want for a minute to consider his condition. Now, I don't know too much about leprosy other than what I Google and search and read about. After all, in this modern age, leprosy, or sometimes known as Hansen's disease, is cured. They have drugs today that they didn't have in ancient times. Today, you can take drugs that you will be delivered from leprosy. Although it won't repair the damage that's already been done, it nevertheless, there's drugs today that deliver you from it. Back in the old days, in the Bible days, no such drugs existed. A whole portion of the chapter of Leviticus, chapter 13, deals with how to perceive the differences of leprosy from other skin disorders. There's an enormous amount of sorts of skin disorders. Eczema, acne, I mean, there's dryness of skin, there's all kinds of problems associated with skin. So the priests were given certain details in Leviticus 13 to discern the difference between what was truly leprosy and these other disorders, which were just simple skin rashes or something like that. So it was this. It was something. So the priests were instructed on how to observe or to see its manifestation, but they were not and did not have the ability to heal or cleanse it. There were certain things you did once a leper was cleansed, but why, even the Lord recognized that there were not many lepers healed in Israel, and with the exception of Naaman the Syrian, none of the lepers were approached by the prophet Elijah. And that, of course, sparked a whole lot of enmity among the Jews, because the Lord Jesus Christ was talking there in Luke 4 about His sovereignty and His sovereign prerogative to heal or cleanse whom He will. you know. And so anyway, the point being made was that up to the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many lepers, but few, if any, were cleansed. And this was a terrible disease. The word leper, or leprosy, actually has a root word, means scaly. And you can only imagine what your skin would be like with leprosy. Literally, layers of skin. Like a sponge, your face would just be absorbed with layers of skin. Like a lion's face, if you could see a lion's face with skin overlapping. And then it was a decaying skin. Later on in modern times, they learned that this leprosy was a disease of the nervous system. It attacks the nerves, not only on the surface, but beneath the skin. So much so that it leaves your extremities it leaves it bare for falling off, because they also learned, in addition to the fact that it was a nervous system disease, that it would leave your extremities open to danger. And the fact that your fingers would fall off was not because of leprosy, but the result of it, because by leaving your fingers bare without feeling, you literally would be subject to danger in doing things that were you couldn't feel the pain of it. You couldn't feel the sensitivity of something. You know, something would hurt your hand and your bones would be affected. I mean, all these conditions resulted from the nervous system breaking down and having no sensitivity. Your eyes were affected. All your extremities were affected. In Luke's account, this particular leper, it was said of him that he was full of leprosy. And you can see pictures of people that have leprosy, even to this day. There may be portions of leprosy on the body, on the face, on the arms, in the eyes. But this man here was full of leprosy. And this sets forth his utter condition as being helpless. And there's no place on him that was considered clean. He was full of leprosy. He was pronounced unclean in such cases. Thankfully, there are drugs today, but in third world countries like India, China, there's places in China, Africa, there are still leper colonies. So it's something to do a search on and consider. Thank God we live in a great nation, and we've been blessed from these types of diseases. But now, as we consider this condition, consider also the fact that he came to Christ. And there came a leper to him. Now, I want you to recognize that this portrays something. It doesn't portray an unregenerate sinner in my mind. This leper here is full of leprosy, right? This is a picture of the devastation of sin in his life. This is a picture of his inability, of his total lack of spiritual strength to recover himself. But the fact that he came to Christ tells me something, doesn't it? He may have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fame of Jesus had gone throughout all the regions. The Lord Jesus Christ healed, he cleansed, he repaired, he made whole. And so his fame had gone throughout all the country. And so there's no doubt that this particular leper came to the Lord beseeching him. That word beseech literally means to come aside, to join one side. This man sought the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't seek the religious rulers of the day, did he? Because the religious rulers of the day wouldn't have nothing to do with a leper. You know, I understand, according to Talmudic tradition, that the Pharisees wouldn't be downwind of a leper, but by 150 feet, 6 feet upwind. It was the pride of the arrogant Pharisees to cast stones at lepers. And one was mentioned as having said that he wouldn't even aid from somebody purchased on the street where a leper was. No, the pride of arrogant, self-righteous religion rejected lepers. But here's one beseeching Christ, who's full of compassion. He comes to the Lord. Now, faith, I understand, in the Bible is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The idea is that faith is something to stand on. Faith is some substance, spiritual substance. You think this brother here was standing on something when he looked to Christ for healing? when he beseeched him. And he said, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that tells me this leper, prior to his cleansing, had already faith in his heart, recognizing who Jesus was. Now, interesting enough that in Luke's account, it says that he fell on his face. In Matthew's account, the scripture says that the leper worshipped the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. You know, if the Lord never done anything else, he recognized God, the Lord was sovereign. If you will, you can make me clean. He recognized it. And if he walked away, if the Lord said, nice to meet you, I'm heading this other direction, see you later, that would be sufficient for me to know that this dear leper, I'll see him in heaven one day. See, there's no guarantee that whatever distress we may be ailing from in this life because of this sin-cursed flesh, there's no promise from God that we'll be delivered from it in this time world. It may be that there are certain maladies that you may have or some difficulty or circumstances beyond your control that you seek deliverance from. But in a bigger picture, you're stuck with it. Now, God gives grace to you, and you're enabled to continue on serving the Lord, just like this leper. Had the leper not been cleansed, his faith would not be daunted. His faith would still be in his Lord. I believe that to be the case. But consider something for a minute, his contrition. He said, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. See, there's something wonderful about a child of grace humbling himself before the mighty hand of God. As I said earlier, the fact is that we don't come to the Lord in our own strength, because we have none. We're totally unable. But we come to the Lord and we recognize that He's our strength. He strengthens us. He invigorates us. He gives us ability. David in Psalms 51 is a good example of someone who recognizes his total inability and comes to the Lord after having been judged by Him. He says, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so there in that great Psalms of David's contrite and humble heart after having sinned, he recognized that there's no sacrifice that he could do. There's nothing that he could prove to God that he could clean up his act. It was not about a reformation. It was not about some sort of rehabilitation. It was about a total cleansing that only could come from God. And that broken heart that David felt was the best place he could be. But the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is the mystery about Christianity that the world does not capture. This is the ambiguity of Christianity that sometimes frustrates even ourselves. I mean, can't you get a frustration in the voice of Paul? Oh, wretched man that I am. In other words, he wanted to do good, but he couldn't. There was something holding him back. There was this powerful passion, evil in his own heart that he couldn't be delivered from. And he longed for deliverance. But he could thank God in that state for the victory that he could have in Christ. And that's where I want us to go eventually. Because this leper was cleansed eventually. This leper was blessed by Christ eventually. And this is the point of victory that we have even as we are plagued by the nature that is so prone to sin. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can cleanse the foulest, right? His blood availed for me, something like that. That first part where the songwriter says he breaks the power of canceled sin, that's a tremendous thought. Yeah, it's canceled at Calvary. Legally, our sin has been leveled at Calvary. We have the victory legally in Christ. But there's a power that lingers. We all know that power. It stymies us from the ability to serve Christ. It prevents us. It is so absorbing that it destroys our passion for Christ, and we deal with it day in and day out. We fight this work of the flesh, which is still abiding in our hearts, contrary to the work of the Spirit. And so we have ourselves here in a position of humility as we come before the Lord, and we recognize there's no way I can do this. I mean, we feel like the Philippian jailer after the prisoners were sprung, after having heard the apostles singing hymns, and they praise God, and he comes trembling before them and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew something about contrition, didn't he? You think he was thinking about his home in heaven? I don't think so. I think he was thinking about how he was going to get out of that strait he was in. He knew the ravages of his own sin nature, and he knew the ravages of his plight, of his circumstances. But the apostles promised him something that would deliver him in that time. And that was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right then and there. And he was delivered. He was delivered from a situation there. And so we feel the same way. We're like this leper who came to the Lord. You know, we recognize, you know, I can't clean myself. And there's not a priest in all of Jerusalem who's going to deal with this. I am full of leprosy. But I've seen you work. There's something personal about this, isn't it? It's nice to say, yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you for delivering this brother and this sister over here. What a remarkable thing. But is there any left for me? I believe this brother was thinking about himself when he came to him. I think that's what faith does. It says, Lord, you're able to clean me, even me. I believe you're able to lift me up out of the dunghill. I believe God has all power, not just to help this brother over here I read about, but help me right now in my hour of need. That's the kind of Jesus I want to hear about. That's the kind of Jesus that's portrayed in the gospel. I can't understand how he can address two needs at any one time. I can't, but he can. He's all-seeing, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's able. If thou wilt, thou canst. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Well, that's what I'm speaking about. We consider now the fact that this man has got confidence in the Lord, not in himself, not in a fleshly confidence. Paul said, I've got no confidence in the flesh. I mean, far from this brother that we read about to have confidence in his flesh was decaying. His flesh was corrupt. He couldn't even be a part of the worship service known to Israel in that time. He was excluded. He was an outcast. That's what the law told him to do. He was to live outside the bounds of normal society. He was rejected. Nobody wanted him. But the Lord reached out, the Bible says, and touched him. Now that in and of itself was unlawful from a religious perspective. From a self-righteous perspective, no Pharisee would ever come close to a leper. But the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out and touches. One touch of his gentle hand. Oh, what a beautiful hymn that is. It conveys the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to come close. We see that throughout the case of the Gospels, where the Lord entertains those that were sinners, recognized as such, but yet repentive, sorrowful, brokenhearted, poor in spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ received him. Well, Christ is full of compassion. There's no degree in him of minimizing that love that he has for each one of us. I don't know about you, but as I get older, as I feel the frailty of my human nature, as I recognize that no matter how old I get or however long I've been in God's kingdom, I've still got to contend with this old man. Not going to leave me. You know something about the flesh you have to understand? That God is not going to reform it. This isn't a religious institution where people that are broken in some sort of behavior come for repair. You know, quit smoking or some other behavior that they don't like, or, you know, kind of get treated with some drug and then set back out in society. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about reformation. We're talking about the recognition that God has condemned sin in the flesh. There's no hope for this flesh. When you get to that point in your life, in your spiritual life, now what I'm not saying that God can't use you, who you are, sitting in the flesh on the pew today. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you have absolutely no confidence in this flesh that God has condemned to death. There's no hope for this flesh. And so when you're dealing with a son or a daughter in your family as a parent, and you're dealing with these problems that are because of this sin nature, you look to Christ, who alone can cleanse and heal. And you support every apparatus known to the Bible. You lay everything open in terms of looking to Christ to be the healer, to cleanse this one that needs cleansing. And speaking of yourself, the Father. Well, notice this, and we're going to close this in this last section here. And that is, secondly, not only we saw Christ full of compassion, the fact that this leper and his condition was horrific, that he came to Christ, that he was full of contrition, and his absolute confidence was in the Lord. But secondly, notice that Christ has the cleansing power of himself to deliver this one. And this power was supernatural. It was nothing that he could do of himself. There was no medicine. There was no priest that could offer up cleansing for his situation. This is a picture of defilement. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of absolute total defilement. Now, in this first chapter, I love Mark because Mark's a gospel that concentrates on the Lord Jesus Christ as an ox, if you will, a servant to do the Lord's work, much different than the other gospels. I mean, right out of the gate, Mark's account, he's healing, he's cleansing, he's performing miracles because he's a servant of the Most High God performing that which needs to be done. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The key verse may be found in Mark chapter 10 is that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So you see the Lord, a workhorse, working day and night, solitary in the wee hours of the morning in prayer, praying with great passion, spiritual passion, to preach the gospel. Therefore I came to preach the gospel of God's kingdom, to heal. We see this now. But in Mark's account especially, we see, for instance, in the very beginning, we'll read about Simon's mother-in-law, who had this fever. She was sick. And this fever affected her mind, there's no doubt. And sin, we see, affects us so much that we can't even be good in the household of faith. We can't even be at any worth in God's kingdom. Until she was healed of that fever, right? She couldn't attend to the needs. Then there was a man with an unclean spirit early on. I mean, all spirits are unclean, but to say it's an unclean spirit lays a little more definition to the term, don't you think? Unclean, sexually immoral, perverse, filthy. There's those kind of spirits today in our society. Paul speaks about to a young minister to beware of seducing spirits because there's doctrines of devils. There's all kinds of isms out there that would, frustrate you in understanding the truth of God. You know, some of you out there have never really solidified your faith in what you read because you're always listening to things out there on the wave, out there in the world wide web. You know, you're bouncing around like a ship tossed on a turbulent sea. You're not solidified on what you read for yourself in the Bible. Why? Because there's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here, an unclean spirit. By the way, that fever that Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, had, that word fever in the Greek is also used over there in the book of Ephesians where Paul speaks about the fiery darts. He speaks later on about a burning carnality and lust. Or that fire of iniquity called the tongue in the book of James. And so there's all kind of fiery darts and fevers that can affect us. The leper, which we have before us. Then there's a man in chapter 2 and verse 1 who was sick of the palsy. And this demonstrates the fact that, you're unfit for the kingdom when you serve the flesh. that God has no use for you when you're serving the law of sin and death. You see, you're no good to God as a leper. Now listen carefully. You've got to be cleansed. You've got to be made whole. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. And there's times in our lives where we can look back and say, yeah, I remember I was no good to God or anyone else or myself when I was full of leprosy, when I was sick of the palsy, when I had a fever, when I had unclean spirits, and so on. There's more accounts in this chapter in the Gospel of Mark that deals with these variety of ailments and maladies. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, and I know that you can testify to the same, that He's got supernatural power, that He can deliver us right now. You know what it is, the victory? The victory we have, it's not something far distant. I know heaven's coming, and one day we'll have a new body, and sin will be put down once and for all. We'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. But today we're guaranteed, through the power of Christ, to be delivered from His power. Yes, from His power, from its gripping, all-consuming power. And we can walk a victorious life of faith. What is it that overcometh the world? Even our faith. Faith will enable us. Not reason, not intellectualism, not what you suppose or perceive to be strength, but faith. The weakness of faith. In the eyes of man, that mustard seed, that grain that is so small and insignificant, yet by God's grace can strengthen you and can you and give you the power. But also, not only the supernaturalness of the Lord's cleansing this leper, but he was told to show himself as a sign to the priest or a testimony. And I think that there he testified not only to the law of Moses, but when this leper went back to the priest, I believe he testified and gave validity to the compassion and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he wasn't an insignificant person he thought of, but that he was who he was, who he said he was. And also, lastly, that the cleansing power of this leper demonstrates the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I believe the scripture says that he, the Lord Jesus, is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the body. And within that same context, he speaks about the sanctifying work of the washing or the cleansing of the water of the Word of God. You need cleansing today because you're a leper. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You beseech him. And you know something, that he has the power to cleanse you. And if he only wills it to be, it would be yours. He's got the ableness, right? The ability. Thou canst do this if you will. We recognize that God is sovereign. But I tell you, God has given all children of God that are plagued by the weakness of sin the avenue whereby we receive the strength. David said something like this in Psalms 119, verse 9. How shall or wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. And that scripture over in the book of Ephesians is for us. It speaks to the sanctifying effect of the Bible, the Word of God. It speaks that that scripture can cleanse you from the proneness of sin and give you the avenue whereby you can reach out in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He can cleanse you fully. Supernaturally, immediately, that leprosy was cleansed immediately. There was nothing left there over. You know, a drug may deliver you from the disease of leprosy, but the repair or the damage that has already been done is still seen. Not so with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child, he'll set that sinner upon a solid rock out of the miry clay and give that sinner a hope, a lasting hope, a hope that trusts in his Savior for the rest of his dying days. May the Lord bless you. It's good to be here. Appreciate your attention this morning.